This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. And before I get to all the stories we have, I don't know if I'm ever going to live down what I did on yesterday's show.
What'd you do?
Man. So we had this story that I wanted to use for today's Sign the End is Near.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Cooper, the rocker, he's mm-hmm. been, one of the things that I really admire about him is he and his wife got married. He was 28. She was 18. They've been married for 43 years. They never spend any time apart. They're still, I've heard him talk. He's just madly in love with his wife.
I'm guessing there were a lot of people who thought this is never going to work, given Alice Cooper and the age difference.
Yes, and just the fact that rockers, a lot of guys get into rock and roll for the women. And he could have had all the women in the world. I mean, I've heard some stories about Van Halen and Def Leppard. Right. Have you ever heard the Van Halen story?
Which one?
They had an area underneath the stage. And they would pick out, like, four women from the stands,
no.
And they'd be under the stage. And then Eddie Van Halen would do a 15-minute guitar solo while one of his bandmates, Sammy Hagar, would go down and
have... Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, that was just kind of the rock star life. And I'm sure Alice Cooper could have availed himself to that. But he swears that he and his wife have been monogamous for 43 years.
Good for him.
Do you have the clip from yesterday's show? Did you pull that?
Of
today's sign?
Oh.
Just that part of today's sign?
Well, okay,
Alice
yeah.
Cooper.
I have it. Hang on.
Okay, yeah. See if you can pull that up. So anyway, I'm telling the story because they made a lot of news last weekend because Alice Cooper said they have what sounded like a suicide pact that... They have decided that one could not live without the other. And so people said, so is it a suicide pact? And he said, no, it's a life pact. We're always together. So if something happens to one of us, it will probably happen to the other one, which is kind of silly reasoning because that's if it was an accident or something. But if you get cancer or something like that, you can't control when the other one goes. So anyway, I'm just telling the story about what sounded like a suicide pact that he and his wife had, and then he had to come out and say, no, 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 it's a life pact. But I wanted to play a little song, an Alice Cooper song. And, you know, Nicole's just a kid. She wasn't around back in the 70s.
Well, I actually did know this, but sometimes I just don't ask questions. You just said, grab me this song,
yeah.
And I just... grab the song.
So, yeah, and I just, and I don't know why I thought this, but you're, I don't even want to play this. It's so embarrassing. And then finally, we got some Alice Cooper music here. Got any good Alice? That school's out. Too cliched. Do we have any slow ballads, perhaps? I always thought it was funny. When rockers did the slow ballads. Anyway, the song is by Kiss. This is a big hit for Alice Cooper.
I was going to say, that's not Alice Cooper.
I know. One of the things I said to Nicole before the show, I said, hey, will you load Beth by Kiss? And so she finds Beth and loads it. So anyway, then I'm not looking at the text messages.
Oh, no.
I finished the show. I thought it was a good show yesterday. I'm in my car, I'm heading home, going to have a nice afternoon on the deck. Nicole calls me at 3:05, and she says, oh, the text message is just blowing up. Hundreds and hundreds of people, because I'm playing Kiss when I thought...
Did she tell you that I came in there in a rush just saying, Nicole,
yes,
do you know what's going on here?
Oh, man. And of course, I was thinking, when I was thinking of a slow Alice Cooper ballad, I said Beth, but of course I was thinking about...
Of course you were.
His touching, soft ballad, Only Women Bleed. Don't look so shocked. That's the name of the song.
I'm just kind of trying to absorb the title there.
Yeah. I know.
He got the power, oh, she got the need.
Actually, what I think I was thinking of was his soft ballad, You and Me.
Do you know what the first words are on that?
That song? But no, do I want to know? Do I not want to know?
I just looked at him.
It was played on Top 40 radio back in the day.
Man's got his woman to take his seed.
I don't know if we should have shared that.
That's what we just shared in the song.
Well, this is a case where the correction has gotten even worse than the original transgression. So anyway, I'd like to apologize to Alice Cooper, to Gene Simmons. As I said on Twitter last night, if Gene Simmons heard about this, I'm sure he'd give me a real tongue-lashing. So anyway, I'm sorry for the mix-up yesterday. Hey, let's do a little more of You and Me. Are these lyrics okay, Ursula?
I'm afraid.
What we are is what we are. Okay. So that's my apology and correction to yesterday's show. We make very, very few mistakes here, but that one was a doozy. Okay, we have some breaking news just coming in. So you reported on these package thieves.
Yes.
Particularly heinous because...
Yes, and this was a Gary Horker, Cairo 7 TV story.
Yeah, Gary Horker had the story about a five-year-old special needs boy. He's autistic. He's awaiting surgery. He has, I believe, a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a local artist who takes these kind of plasticky World Wrestling Federation belts, and he makes them really nice.
Yes. So he takes the plastic jewels and puts, you know, actual maybe actual jewels in them.
Yeah.
But in any case, yeah, he tries to make that. He puts real metal in there, leather, so makes them really beautiful and, you know, hefty and worthwhile. And
here's a little of Gary Horker's story.
Sergio heard about five-year-old Timmy Vick of Delaware, a boy who struggles with autism and needs surgery to remove a dangerous brain tumor, and also finds comfort sleeping with his wrestling belts.
His father doesn't make a lot of money, but he wanted to give him an amazing gift. And I told him I would do it for free, just ship it over, and I'll do everything you want on the belt, and he will have the belt of a lifetime.
Okay, so they ship the belts to this local artist so he can fix it up nice for the little five-year-old boy. And then they have the doorbell cam video of package thieves who stole these belts. Have you heard the breaking news?
No.
We are just getting on this. This is from the Edgewood Police. They just posted this on Facebook. Talk about restoring your faith in humanity. If you've been following the news and saw our post and everyone else who shared it, you know about these belts and that two women stole them off the porch of one of our Edgewood residents, Sergio Moriera, that's the artist. Much to our surprise, the girls returned the stolen items to the victim with an apology note, blaming homelessness and addiction for their poor decision. We can't wait to see Sergio's handiwork after he completes these belts and ships them off to Timmy Vick, who is patiently waiting for them.
Oh, so, that's great.
It is great.
But...
Well, it makes me wonder, how do people who are homeless addicts, as they describe themselves, how'd they hear about this in the news?
Phones. I bet they still have phones.
So...
That's how they find their people.
Yeah. How do they pay for the
Well, they also problems? Probably had a vehicle. How do they pay for the vehicle? Hmm. This was out in Edgewood.
Yeah. But anyway, they've been returned and they felt because truly, I think most of the criminals of these porch pirates and the smash and grabs and the home burglaries, I think most of them have lost their humanity just because of the, you know, the desperation of addiction. And to hear that they actually felt guilt when they heard the details of the story and returned the belts.
Well, the other thing is the artist said, you know what, I'm not going to pursue charges. I'm not interested in charges. I'm interested in getting these belts back.
Yeah.
That might have helped a lot, too. The other thing is the video, you could see them very clearly.
Could you see their faces?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see. I just heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, the belts have been returned, and the five-year-old boy is going to get them after the local artist fancies them up. So I want to share that good news with you. Next up in the Fastest 15. Okay, now we can get back to some bad news. Down in Lewis County, there's a high school there, Winlock High School, and for some bizarre reason, a bunch of vandals went on the baseball field and just destroyed as much as they could. They were spray painting, graffiti, or just tagging the dugouts,
the
fences.
There were racial slurs, too.
Bunch of racial slurs. They were writing stuff in spray paint on the grass. And then they used explosives to blow up the pitcher's mound and home plate. Cairo, our news partners at Cairo 7, their South Sound reporter, Shelby Miller, was covering this. And she talked to the police chief down in Lewis County in the sheriff's office about the damage done.
The graffiti, especially a school environment, was pretty obscene. There were depictions of genitalia. There were sexually suggestive phrases as well as racial slurs that were included in that graffiti.
And the damage was extensive.
You can still see spots the vandals tagged with blue and red paint. They even spray painted vulgarities into the field. They also tipped over a porta potty and blew up the pitcher's mound and home plate. You can hear the explosion on surveillance video.
And that camera that recorded that video, that was a long ways away from the field because I did see that video. And that's a loud explosion. So they're still looking for the Winlock High School baseball field
What's
vandals.
What's the deal with all these field jerks?
All over. We had the soccer fields up in Snohomish County that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Baseball fields, West Seattle.
Yeah. It's just
jerks.
Well, and in some of the cases, like I thought, I don't know if they ever caught the Snohomish soccer vandals, but I talked to the president of the soccer association up there on the show, and I told him my theory. I thought it was probably the parent of a kid who didn't get on the select team, and I don't know if that's the case, but I'm telling you, there are so many absolutely crazed sports parents that, you know, maybe their kid didn't make varsity or their kid didn't get on the select team. A lot of these could be just crazy sports parents.
Yeah, but the whole graffiti and vandalism, I mean, that's been going on since the beginning of time practically. And I always wonder, because I actually talked to a tagger. I spoke to someone who did it for almost a living. And there's just a thrill. I mean, they get it's like an adrenaline rush.
He did it for a living.
Well, practically. I mean, yeah.
Okay, what kind of money can you make?
He made it a habit.
He made it. It was a regular thing. There used to be, remember the old Tubbs building?
Inside and out.
He was responsible. Yeah. In the U district. He was responsible for most of that. People would go drive by just to see it. I know. I've set you on a whole nother.
I just started remembering.
In case anyone doesn't know, that we would pay money to rent a hot tub for an hour.
When you say we, not you and I.
No.
Yeah.
I did it too, though.
Yeah. Yes.
But separately.
Separately. We did it. It was so disgusting.
I know.
They
had showers in there, too.
Well, they had. I mean, it's such a bizarre business concept. It's right on the corner of 50th and Roosevelt, was it? The southeast corner.
Yeah.
So you go in, and they... Do you know about this, Nicole? About Tubbs?
Oh, I know about it. I have never been there.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's done. Before my time.
Yeah. No, when I went to the University of Washington, I was quite the player. But, no, you go in, and you'd rent a room, and it had a hot tub in it, and it had a, bed.
It had music.
It had music.
A bed
had
with
a bed.
A little thin mattress.
What? Yes. I didn't know about the bed.
Yes, it was little,
it was like a bench.
It was a little like plywood platform with a thin mattress on it.
Oh,
lights were dim.
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, and
sorry.
So you went in there to just hang out with your friends?
Sure.
Hey, John, you want to go to Tubbs tonight?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
And then.
We were talking about vandalism, and now we've gotten to Tubbs. This is how this show goes.
Well, and then when your time was almost up, they would on a speaker.
Oh, God, yeah.
You have 5 minutes remaining.
I tell you what, if that doesn't ruin the mood,
yes.
The moment.
And you're like contemplating, what can we do in 5 minutes?
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
5 minutes. I needed six.
I don't think I wanted to know that you two had been there.
Again,
separately.
Separately. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the building's gone.
Yeah, and it was
covered with graffiti.
Yes, it
and
sure
buses
was.
Would go by. So that was his, yeah, that's what
man.
I mean about his business.
Gross.
It was gross. It was so disgusting. Oh, there's no filtration system powerful enough to make that water suitable for human dipping. It was so disgusting. Oh, the things I would do when I was 21 years old. My goodness. Speaking of that, the tagging on I-5 North, I noticed this yesterday. You know, they've got these stupid sound barriers that we wasted tens of millions of dollars on. And they've got the sound barriers and, you know, they're just exposed because they tore down all the trees along I-5 for sound transit. And somebody put up, it was like it must be 12, 15 feet long, multicolored, and it had to take a long time to spray paint. And you're right next to the freeway, and how somebody was able to do something that extensive. If people are driving north on I-5 right now, it was north of Northgate, yeah. Might be right around 130th.
And Chris actually did a whole choke point feature yesterday about that, and there is more graffiti all along I-5, and it's costing the state and taxpayers a lot more money.
Yeah.
But again, the tagger that I interviewed said one of the biggest thrills for them is to figure out how to get around any barriers that are put up. I mean, they obsess about that.
Okay.
It's crazy that you never see them. No one sees them.
Mm-mm.
Bottom line. Public hot tubs are disgusting.
Ugh.
Okay, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Google is going to great lengths to try to control your news inputs and to control the world. And the grilling they got before the U.S. Senate today was fascinating. You're going to hear a bunch of that next on the Dory Monson Show. Google is a ubiquitous presence in our lives. And I certainly am somewhat captive to Google. I have a Chromebook laptop. It's my browser of choice. Remember when Microsoft tried to rival Google with Bing? And it had no chance. And now it's become the generic term for search for something. Just Google it. And Bing never had a chance against Google. On so many of the things, they want you to enter your phone number. They know your web searches. They control your mind, or at least that's their goal, in a literal sense. At Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's operation, where they go in with undercover cameras, they got a devastating clip with a Google executive, the head of responsible innovation at Google, Jen Janai. And in it, she said that small companies can't impact an election, but a company as big as Google can. And, you know, like they're saying, why would Elizabeth Warren say break up Google? Because Google wanted to get Hillary elected. They hate Trump. All of their executives hate Trump. And so, but this is what's so damning. Their executive on an undercover video saying that Google is going to work to prevent another, as she called it, Trump situation.
Called in front of Congress multiple times, and we've not shown them. We're like, we just know they're going to just attack us. Like, we're not going to change your response. We're not going to change your mind. There's no point in just sitting there being attacked for something that we know we're not going to change. Like, they can pressure us, but we're not changing. But we also have to be aware of what they're doing and what they're accusing us of. Like I said, like, they could just, like, Elizabeth Warren, even I love her, but she's also saying, like, you just have to break up Google and that will solve everything.
You have to what?
Okay, so right there, and I know it's hard to hear, so I'll tell you the transcript. She said, Elizabeth Warren is saying we should break up Google. I love her, but she's very misguided. Here's more.
Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. She's and, like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse, because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company.
Okay. So she said, all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that. So Google has decided that it's their corporate mission to make sure who gets elected president. And they are not going to let Trump get reelected. And because Google can, with their algorithms, they can bury positive stories about the president. They can give prominence to negative stories. Google admits right there that they want to try to manipulate the United States election. Now, are Democrats as wild-eyed, crazy about that as they were about Russian interference? And it turns out Hillary was working with the Russians more than anybody. But are Democrats crazy about that when Google wants to help the Democrat Party? So at a congressional hearing today, Ted Cruz was talking with Maggie Stanfill, the director of Google User Experience. They got the worst job titles. The woman on the undercover video is the head of responsible innovation. And this is the director of Google User Experience, Maggie Stanfill, testifying before the Senate today.
Are you familiar with a report that was released yesterday from Veritas that included a whistleblower from within Google, that included videos from a senior executive at Google, and that included documents that are purportedly internal PowerPoint documents from Google?
Yes, I heard about that report in industry news.
Have you seen the report?
No, I have not.
So you didn't review the report to prepare for this hearing?
It's been a busy day, and I have a day job, which is digital well-being at Google. So I'm trying to make sure I keep the trains on the
track. Sorry, this hearing is impinging on your day job.
It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
She's like a robot, this woman. And she's going to appear before the Senate, but she was only vaguely familiar with one of her fellow executives saying that they were going to influence future American elections like small companies could not. That's hard to believe, but that's the nonsense she was trying to sell. And then this.
Of the senior executives at Google, do you know of a single one who voted for Donald Trump?
Thank you, Senator. I'm a user experience director, and I work on Google Digital Wellbeing. And I can tell you we have diverse views, but I can't.
Simple question. Do you know of anyone who voted for Trump? Of the senior
executives. I definitely know of people who voted for Trump.
Of the senior executives at Google.
I don't talk politics with my workmate.
Is that a no?
Sorry, is that a no to what?
Do you know of any senior executives, even a single senior executive at the company who voted for Donald Trump?
As the digital well-being expert, I don't think this is in my purview to comment on political
affiliations. So you don't know that. That's all right. You don't have to know.
I definitely don't know.
I can tell you what the public records show. The public records show that in 2016... Google employees gave to the Hillary Clinton campaign $1.315 million. That's a lot of money. Care to venture how much they gave to the Trump campaign?
I would have no idea, sir.
Well, the nice thing is it's a round number, $0.00. Not a penny, according to the public reports.
Wow.
That's pretty damning. An executive on undercover video admits that Google is going to try to manipulate the next U.S. election to prevent another Trump-like experience. Their executives gave $1.3 million to Hillary and nothing to Trump. So it's clear the bent of this company. And this is how corporate America wants to control your mind. They want to control your inputs. And by the way, I mean, this, so much of major media does this. 90%+ of all coverage of the president is negative. And half the stuff he does is goofy and negative. But half the stuff he does has been wonderful for America. And that doesn't get reported at all. But now it's not just politics, it's not just the media, but it's Google every time you go online.
According to this whistleblower, deliberately makes recommendations if someone is searching for conservative commentators, deliberately shifts the recommendation. So instead of recommending other conservative commentators, it recommends organizations like CNN or MSNBC or left-leaning political outlets. Is that occurring?
Thank you, sir. I can't comment on search algorithms or recommendations given my purview as the digital well-being lead. I can take that back to my team, though.
So is it part of digital well-being being for search recommendations to reflect where the user wants to go rather than deliberately shifting where they want to go?
Thank you, sir. As a user experience professional, we focus on delivering on user goals. So we try to get out of the way and get them on the task at hand.
So a final question. One of these documents that was leaked explains what Google is doing, and it has a series of steps. Training data are collected and classified. Algorithms are programmed. Media are filtered, ranked, aggregated, and guaranteed. And that ends with people, parentheses, like us, are programmed. Does Google view its job as programming people with search results?
Thank you, Senator. I can't speak for the whole entire company, but I can tell you that we make sure that we put our users first in our design.
And there's nothing to back that up. Google wants to control your mind. And it is amazing. It's amazing that the president has even 45% favorable ratings when you have major media and the dominant internet portal search engine that are lined up to try to destroy him. It's amazing that 45% of Americans have been able to stay free thinkers when you have that barrage against him. All right, lots more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Love to hear your thoughts on all of this. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. Lots more straight ahead, including the U.S. women's soccer team. Ooh, the president doesn't like the Seattle player Megan Rapinoe. Tell you more next.
You're talking soccer, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah. Megan Rapinoe. She plays for the Seattle women's soccer team. She's also the captain of the U.S. national team. And I've said that as big a supporter and as much of my life has been dedicated to coaching girls and women's sports, the U.S. women's soccer team might be my least favorite sports team. The way they just, the ridiculous celebrations when they beat up on, was it Thailand? It was a team that had never been in the World Cup before, 13-0. It was just, it was pathetic. And Megan Rapinoe, the captain of the U.S. national team, while all of her teammates stood with her hand over their heart singing the national anthem, she refuses to. because she said F Donald Trump. And I don't know if you're the captain of the U.S. national team, if that's the most appropriate position to take. And then she said this. They asked her, if you win the World Cup, are you going to go to the White House? And Megan Rapinoe said,
"Are you excited about going to the White House?"
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's okay. We're not going to be invited.
You're not going to be invited?
I doubt it.
Okay. I'm not going to the effing White House. She's a kind of nasty person. So the president, in a series of tweets today, responded to Megan Rapinoe. He said, Megan Rapinoe just stated she's not going to the effing White House if we win. Hey, by the way, hey, Megan, you haven't won anything yet. You know what the proper response would be? We got three more games, and instead of already assuming you're going to win the World Cup, maybe you should have a little bit of humility and say, hey, we got to win these three games. Then we can talk about that. But now she's already assumed they're going to win, apparently. So anyway, the president said, other than the NBA, which now refuses to call owners, please explain that I got criminal justice reform passed, black unemployment is at the lowest level in our country's history, and the poverty index is also the best number ever. Leagues and teams love coming to the White House. I'm a big fan of the American team and women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. We haven't yet invited Megan or the team, but I am now inviting the team. Win or lose, Megan should never disrespect our country, the White House, or our flag, especially since so much has been done for her and the team. Be proud of the flag that you wear. The USA is doing great. So is the president's response to Megan Rapinoe. But she's not going to the effing White House. Big lead at two, coming up next.